I'm Jarrett Carpenter, and this is More Than Blockchain. And on today's episode, I get to sit down with Monica. Monica is the founder of Crypto Conexion, Crypto Connection. And today we're going to talk about Web3 education, Latinos in blockchain, and probably everything under the sun because crypto moves quickly. So with all that said, Monica, welcome to More Than Blockchain. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good, Jarrett. I'm excited to be here. Everybody talks about this podcast, so I'm excited to now be with you.
I am, as you can see my face, I cannot hide it. We are on video. That is an amazing compliment. Thank you for saying that. And yeah, I actually, you know, I haven't done it yet, but on More Than Blockchain's website, morethanblockchain.xyz, I'll shill it. There, I'm working on a graphic, which is going to be the globe, probably through Google Maps, and there's going to be pins. Right. And so you'll have your pin in Austin, Texas, which is going to be really cool, but it's going to show how many people have been on. And then when you click on the pins, it will go to the episode either on Spotify or on YouTube. But you're joining now what I like to think of as an elite company of people who are in Web3, in crypto, in blockchain, in Bitcoin, doing something with this new technology that we have to kind of push things forward. So with that said, and I kind of shouted this out in the brief intro, let's dive right in. Why Crypto Connection? Why Web3 education? And I know we're speaking in English and we may go in and out of Spanish. That may or may not happen. Why is it so important for you to have that education material in Spanish?
So Crypto Connection was born actually October 31st, 2021. We wanted to time it with the celebration or anniversary of the publishing of the Bitcoin paper, because we wanted a milestone that meant something. And we created it because at that point, there was not that much information in Spanish. And yet we knew the potential of blockchain, of cryptocurrencies in general, and just Web3 in the region. And so we didn't want language to be a barrier. 2 years later, we've added some content in Portuguese and continued to expand. We have now more than 100 tutorials in Spanish. We created two directories, one for grants and one for courses, where people can find content that's not ours. But again, we want to be that resource, and we consider ourselves a community of communities. We work with and collaborate with a lot of projects in the region that have the same mission.
Yeah, I love that. And I actually wasn't aware that the Crypto Conexion website had anything in Portuguese until today. And we've been off mic for a while now, kind of catching up and talking about other things. I was literally, I did this because we were going to talk, but about an hour and a half ago, I was walking back from lunch, where I get lunch here in Bogota. And I ran into this 17-year-old kid who works at like a wash and fold. And then before I had a washer, he would come and, you know, give me my clothes. No. And we started talking today and he was like, "Hey, what do you do?" And I was like, "Okay, like I work in tech." He's like, "Okay, what do you do in tech?" Cause normally I say tech and then maybe I go to crypto and finally I get to Bitcoin, depending on who I'm talking to. Right. And he was like, "Okay, what's Bitcoin?" And it just so happens that this wash and fold is next to one of the only in this area Bitcoin ATMs. So we started talking about Bitcoin and he's like, "Well, I want to learn more." And I'm like, "I would love for you to learn more." And I was like, "Let me show you this website." So I pulled up Crypto Conexion, and this is how I found out that you had. And I made him, a bookmark it in his Google Chrome on his phone. And I didn't realize you guys had Portuguese because I typed in Bitcoin and it's like, "Que es Bitcoin? ¿Cómo se maneja?" And all of a sudden there was all this Portuguese, and I was like, "Hold on a sec, let me go through this." But no, it's fine. But it's really, really good that you do have Portuguese language content, because I think in the Americas, we have Portuguese, we have Spanish, we have English. Now, I know that there's a good amount of places that speak French throughout the Americas, but for all intents and purposes, those are the three languages. So it's really great that Crypto Conexion is really touching upon the two biggest spoken languages below, I guess you could say, the US border. And with that said, you're in Austin, and I feel like you were just at an event. And it wasn't obviously an ATX Women event, but it was an event in DC. And do you want to touch a little bit upon that? Because I think, as you said, the community of communities, this must have to just tie in. This is one of these, you know, concentric circles, right?
Yeah. So there's a woman called Clev Messador. She's the executive director of the Blockchain Foundation out of DC. And since, I think, 2019, she's brought together a delegation of women of color and blockchain to do congressional hearings. Mm-hmm. So this is the second year I go with the delegation. And what we do is a full day of panels and meetings. We have several members of Congress address us, but then we go and meet with different staffers to talk about why it's important to hear the voice, diverse voices when they're thinking about regulation for blockchain, crypto, and Web3 in general. And so it's a great event. It's about 40 just incredibly inspiring women, and I was fortunate to be there. I'll send you some photos. We took some great photos in front of the Capitol.
Please send photos. I'd love to see those. And also congratulations on being part of that kind of elite group of, you know, participants who were invited. Like that's a big deal. And I think one of the crazy things about crypto and blockchain in this world is that I tell people, you know, there's that idea of like 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Like if you and I sat down, we could probably get to Kevin Bacon in 7 degrees. But I feel like in crypto, it's maybe two because of how, you know, I work professionally in Bitcoin. You work professionally in crypto, Web3, Bitcoin as well, to be fair. And if you and I sit down, we could literally look at anyone across, anyone on X, which is kind of the schoolyard for conversation, I guess you could say. And within one or two, we're there. We're absolutely there. So that's a pretty cool thing. And you had just said something about the event. Oh yeah. So when we think about blockchain and Latinos, what are the specific things that you see that are positives and negatives, right? And every double-edged sword, there's positive and negative. So what's a positive maybe that Latinos are like, oh, we're ready for blockchain, but what's a negative where it's like, it's really hurting Latinos who maybe are ready for blockchain?
So when it comes to Latinos in crypto, many people don't know this, but we over-index in having or owning crypto. I think 25% of crypto ownership is by Latinos, and we're 15% of the population. So that's a large number. And I think it's because it's giving us access to one of the things we haven't had access to is investment. In the US, more than utility, it's seen as an investment tool. And so a lot of Latinos are identifying it as a way to be able to invest in something that can grow. But the other thing is remittances. I think last year, $3 billion in cross-border payments from the US to Mexico. Just one company, just one country. So if you think about the potential there, and I always say that for me, it's a user case that convinced me that there was a great future and that we really needed to make sure people understood it.
When actually, now we're going to go back to your own personal history with crypto. Mm-hmm. You started in October 31st, 2021. Thank you, Satoshi. So we're a little bit older than 2 years now with Crypto Conexión. But for you personally, when was your, you know, when did you put your toe into the water or just dive headfirst into the water of crypto?
I dove headfirst a year before. So I have many bad jokes on how I started, but you know, while others were baking bread during COVID, I started to study crypto a little bit before that. Because so a friend of mine was convincing me, I wasn't an active investor, and again, in the US it seemed more as an investment tool. And a friend of mine was trying to convince me to be more active in investing, and she convinced me to invest a little bit in Bitcoin, because as we know, you don't have to buy a full coin. The funny part of the story is she had never invested in Bitcoin, wanted me to experiment and tell her that how it went. So after I did, she did too. But that's when I realized, I mean, most people think Bitcoin and don't realize how many different blockchains and cryptocurrency projects there are. So I went in, I was like, what's Ethereum? What's Algorand? At that point, a lot of people were talking about Cardano and Algorand and Solana. So slowly but surely, I jumped in, didn't crawl down, but jumped into that rabbit hole and saw the potential. I thought it was a great technology that people didn't understand and we all needed to understand and embrace.
You probably got in at a very good time if we're talking about it as an investment or a speculative vehicle to hold one's purchasing power or grow wealth, which is cool. And I don't know if we've shared this, but that to me was the use case I saw. You know, whenever you come across a new technology, subconsciously, you're like, oh, this is how this is going to be used. I could see how this is going to be adapted for that. When I first put on the Oculus goggles, I was like, oh, okay. I could see how instead of selling, you know, only 15,000 or 1,500 season tickets to the Celtics, they could sell infinite amounts, millions, billions, because they can just have a couple cameras courtside and then everyone sits at home and they're like that. That to me was obvious. And so when I came across Bitcoin in 2017, I had the exact same feeling. The first thing I thought, I wasn't into the whole fiat thing. I didn't understand that. I wasn't into, you know, this idea of TradFi banking versus DeFi. I was just like, oh, you can send money securely across borders and you don't need to use banks. You don't need to use third-party systems like Western Union, which scalp people, really, if we're being honest and we're not holding back our opinions here. So for you in your own history, why was that like one of the first use cases where you're like, oh, remittances?
So I'm from Mexico and I have always sent money back to Mexico. And it's always either the fees are high, access wasn't immediate, right? Sometimes I hold the money 3 days, sometimes 7 days. I once sent $100 to Argentina and the money was held for 21 days. And so if you think about the barriers and then the security, I mean, everybody knows where you go deposit the money to send it. And then everybody knows where you go pick it up and what hours. And so it can be really unsafe. And so for me, it was immediate. It was like, we all use phones. It's really easy to use. The first time I sent a payment, I was in awe. And the other part is I could show, right? Here's the transaction. It's so transparent. So like everything clicked for me at that point.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I, you know, when I think about remittances, I hadn't ever really taken into account the safety on both sides of the transaction. If you're taking cash and going down to Western Union in Austin to send the money to Mexico, like more on the Mexican side, I would think like, okay, because when I'm in Latin America, I, you know, the saying in Colombia is no hay que dar papaya, no, o sea, no des papaya, which is like, don't give papaya, but culturally means like, don't give anyone any reason to think that they can take advantage of you. Normally it's in the concept of theft, right? Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to on this side, I had always thought about that, but I hadn't also considered it that, yeah, in the States, if you're doing the same thing every week, oh, there goes Monica. She's got that backpack again. She's walking down to the Walgreens because there's the Western Union or, you know, however you'd be sending money. So the safety aspect is something that's a big deal. And now going to Crypto Conexión, I was on the website today and I was looking over what you got going on the platform. It's really incredible. And we can shout out the domain right now so people know, cryptoconexion.com. It will be in the episode show notes and we'll shout it out at the end. And then I was looking at your team and there is a good amount of people behind Crypto Conexión. It almost looks like consultants. It looks like kind of like direct hires. And it also just looks like collaborators is the word that's basically used. Tell me about how that's grown. Because the story in my head is that you were like, oh, let's do this. And then did you started pulling in people from your network to say, who can I do this with? And then I'm sure you met someone along the way. You're like, oh, we both want to do education in Spanish. Let's work together. So can you talk to me a little bit about like the development of Crypto Conexión?
So when I took all these courses, so after I invested and realized how quickly my money was growing, I was like, I need to understand this. I'm not just going to be playing. So I went the academic side. So I took two courses at MIT. I took their crypto course and then I took their blockchain course. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was like, oh, there's not enough content in Spanish. At that point, I was doing PR for AT&T Latin America. And so I have a very good friend in Mexico and shared with her that I wanted to launch something in Spanish. And so she convinced me that it should be a website, not a blog. I was going to do a blog. And so I pulled her in to help me. And previously, I'm a little older than most people in Web3, I think. I have a very good friend in Spain who I had worked with in an ed tech company. So I had been in Spain and I reached out to her and I said, hey, you know, I want to launch this. Are you still with the startup? The startup was wrapping up. And she's like, look, I'll jump in and help you. And so she's our head of education. And then someone else I know, it's all family and connections, right? I shared with her what I was going to do. I knew she had invested in Bitcoin. And she's like, well, my stepson loves the industry. Do you want to meet him? And so he jumped in and he's my partner in the podcast. And like that, it's been friends and family. And so everybody's a freelancer. I've been in communications all my career. So I knew some really good journalists and I reached out to them and said, do you want to contribute and do one or two articles a month? There's somebody, a Colombiana, who Claudia Sandoval, who used to work with Wall Street Journal Americas, and she was on board. And the best part for me was that none of us were in crypto except Marco. And so what I did is I made all of them take courses to understand blockchain and crypto. And then I said, okay, once you take the courses, we can all start writing about it. So
that's a very cool story. And I have a good friend, I'll shout him out, Ethan. He's a filmmaker and he does most of his work is for soccer. It's for the MLS. I think he's done even work with the Argentine Professional League. But one of the reasons why he creates such good content is because at all times he's learning. So he's not like an expert who comes into it and sees it one way and he's going to give it to you through that lens. And so that hearing this backstory now makes me understand why Crypto Conexión, I think, connects so much with people and is so easy to navigate because it comes from people who are constant learners and who only got in the last 18, 24 months into this space. And so it's very much still like, you know, let's look at this from a strict, a child's perspective, right? I don't mean to say that to dumb down what you're doing, but I do think anyone who approaches content in with curiosity first, the content is just so much better. Those are the people that I like consuming. Tom, and I always mess his name up, Tom Bilyeu from Impact Theory. Do you know his stuff?
I don't. I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, you'll have to look it up. I actually met him at NFT NYC, and it was probably one of those moments in life where I kind of was like, oh, I won't be starstruck. And then like I walked up to him and I was like, oh, you know, hey, Tom, because he's one of the biggest podcasters and his approach to everything is just strictly curiosity, which I try to bring as much as possible into crypto, because I think the second you think you know anything about crypto, you are going to learn that you don't. And because it's normally tied to finances, you'll probably lose a lot of money. So best to always come with curiosity. But I want to go touch upon that Bitso statistic because it's so fascinating. Shout out Bitso, very great company. Was this in 2022, the $3 billion that went from the US to Mexico?
Yeah. So I can't wait to see the 2023 number.
Yeah, it's only going to grow. And thinking about that, if you could share some of the behind the scenes of Crypto Conexión, what are the countries that are most engaged with Crypto Conexión from Latin America or from the Americas, I should say, because of how many Hispanics and Latinos there are stateside and in Canada? Is it heavy in Mexico, heavy in Colombia and Argentina, because those population wise, or is there a country like Guatemala, for example, who historically has, I don't know, 10 to 15% of its GDP is made up of remittances? Or is it El Salvador? Because now that country has, you know, for almost the 2 years that you guys have had Crypto Conexión, El Salvador has had Bitcoin as legal tender. If you could share any of that data, I would be just personally fascinated.
We'll talk about El Salvador in a little bit. But no, actually, you know, the first year I was shocked because the first year most of our traffic came from Colombia. And I was surprised because I didn't see Colombia's leading in blockchain. I knew Argentina did. Sure. I knew Mexico. I knew they were one of the top five, but it wasn't the top country yet. They found us and used us. So this year it's Mexico number one, I think, because we've built now so many relationships with communities there. So sure. Mexico, Argentina, Colombia, Brazil, and Peru. Peru is a country that not a lot of people talk about. It has a very dynamic ecosystem. A lot of builders are doing amazing work in Peru. I'm a huge fan of the communities and builders. There's two really great women organizations, Crypto Curiosas and Women Biz. And Women Biz just finished a tour going to cities outside of the capital, outside of Lima, to do workshops. And not just for women, for men and women. And they had huge auditoriums filled with people who wanted to learn.
That's amazing. I need to look into what they're doing. I have been talking with Mi Primer Bitcoin, and we'll get into El Salvador, about being a node for them out of Colombia for Bitcoin education specifically, but you know, just blockchain education. And Peru is an interesting one. When I was at, Permissionless with actually Jessica Yang, and we would be bad people if we didn't shout her out because that's how we met. Jessica, thank you for introducing us on LinkedIn.
We love Jessica.
Yes, Jessica's an amazing, amazing person, Web3, and she's like a real world connector. She's connecting me now to wonderful people, you included. And when I was at Permissionless, I was at an event at night and I was getting a beer in line and I heard this guy speaking Spanish behind me. So I turn around, we start talking. He's from Peru and he was just talking about how much is going on there. So I do think I need to take a little flight from Bogota down to Lima and just kind of like poke my head around. Yeah. because I definitely think, like you said, it's like, okay, Mexico, Argentina, Colombia, population wise, these are normally Mexico City, Bogota, and Buenos Aires are normally the cultural and financial hubs of Latin America. But to know that Lima is also a massive place, is doing great stuff is really inspiring. And I think that getting outside of the capital cities is one of my goals, probably for 2025, 2024. I'm really going to try to make my home in Bogota and make really good connections here on the Bitcoin front. But, you know, so much of Colombia, like most of Latin America, is rural. And there are people out there who actually have the unbanked or the underbanked problems, where crypto is just kind of like a lock and key solution problem set. So we'll see what happens there. As we look forward to 2024, when are we going to get to hang out IRL? Because I feel like you probably have enough reasons to come through Bogota, or we're going to see each other in any one of the other countries. Because it also seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, like every country now has some blockchain event that's pulling in 300 to 500 people that has a speaker or two. Like, they're bringing in somebody. If they don't have someone locally who's a big deal, they're bringing in someone. What are you seeing for 2024 as far as events? I know we're kind of jumping ahead, but I'm sure we're going to be able to align and meet up eventually at one of these events.
So the big one is an Ethereum event. ETH LATAM is going to be actually in Honduras. We haven't talked about Honduras. Honduras also has a really strong community. It's going to be in March. It's going to be after ETH Denver. So I'm looking forward to going to that. I know Futurista happened this year in Medellin. They're going to do it again in Medellin with Hola Metaverso. I'm looking forward to attending that. And then, you know, Blockchain Summit LATAM is one of the best events. Cristobal, saludos Cristobal, from Chile puts that event together. I don't know where it is next year. This year it was in Colombia, but I'm hoping in Bogota. So I'm hoping to attend next year. I haven't been able to attend. I always send somebody because it conflicts with an event that I attend every year. So hopefully next year. And then there's La BitConf, which is in Argentina, which is one that I didn't attend this year, but I'm hoping to attend next year. But then there's so many different events, like you said, that it's really prioritizing. What I'm doing in December, actually, I'm going to put up a board, put all the events that I want to attend, and then start to scratch.
Yeah, I'm there right now. I was talking with a colleague. And we're just looking at 2024, and we're thinking about budgeting, and we're thinking about, you know, as I do professionally, communications, I guess, essentially for a Bitcoin company. We're starting to look at that. Also, this is important that we talk about now as people in crypto, because if you buy tickets now for these events, even though they're going to be in May and June, like Bitcoin conference is going to be in July in Nashville. If you buy it now, you're going to save 50%. Yeah. So don't wait. If you know you're going to go, you're going to do yourself a solid by figuring that out now and just getting your calendar so you don't double book, because that has happened. I wasn't able to go to the Blockchain Summit this year because I got back and I was double booked. I had virtual events those days and I just couldn't make it work, even though it was in my backyard here in Bogota, which is just kind of the nature of the beast.
I'm so bummed that they moved the Bitcoin conference from Miami. Not that I don't love Nashville. I love Nashville, but it gives me an excuse to go to Miami.
I had never gone. I was actually supposed to go this past year, and we decided, I was with Mercy Corps at the time doing crypto fundraising. We actually decided not to go, but I was excited to go just to go to Miami. Once again, nothing against Nashville. I actually did college in Memphis. So in Tennessee, Memphis is my city of choice. I also just think it's going to be so warm in July in Nashville, and it's not like you can be near the beach, right? At least if it's hot in Miami, you're like, all right, well, we're in the Caribbean. So we're going to see. Are you planning on going to that?
Again, I haven't done my calendar. I will tell you.
You got to do your calendar.
But okay, I actually want to go because it's such an important year for Bitcoin.
It is such an important year for Bitcoin. So why don't we dive right into that? We have the halving coming somewhere between, depending upon the hash rate, depending upon the difficulty, depending upon multiple different things in the Bitcoin mining network, somewhere between, last I looked was the April 18th to April 25th. Now, there is a subset of people in crypto that are also into cannabis that are praying that it happens on 420. We will see if the Bitcoin gods are that kind. But talk to me about, for you, when you look ahead, what does the halving mean for Crypto Conexión and for your entire ecosystem?
So we're building out a whole calendar on the road to Bitcoin halving because it's going to get so much attention. And between the potential ETF and the halving, it could really explode the valuation. And, you know, you asked me earlier on what's one of the biggest challenges for Latinos is that unfortunately people try to take advantage of and defraud us, right? Through scams, not through the technology, but through scams. And so we are very focused on doing education, both to help people understand the importance of the halving, the importance of Bitcoin, but also how do you protect yourself from scammers?
Okay, so tell me in as many words, we've just met on a bus and you're telling me all about Bitcoin and I'm telling you it's magic internet money and that my tío ya perdió plata por una estafa. He already lost some money through a scam. I have to get off the bus in two stops. I know this is pressure. How do you quell my anxiety and pique my interest enough so when I get off the bus, I'm like, you know what? I met Monica. She's so nice. Let me go Google what Bitcoin is. Let me check out her website. What would you say about, I guess this is, we're now are kind of getting away from the halving, but what would you say about scams? Because I do think this is really important, especially in Latin America. The scams are next level. Everyone here has a WhatsApp PhD, and scams on WhatsApp during the pandemic were insane.
And the pyramid, right? Las pirámides.
Yeah, las pirámides. Within two clicks, all of a sudden you're in debt. So I have to get off the bus. I have to get off in 30 seconds. What would you tell me about Bitcoin that would quell my anxiety about the estafas or the scams? For those of you who don't speak Spanish, this is the Spanish word of the day, estafa, scam. What would you tell me to quell my anxiety about the estafas, but also raise my curiosity to be like, you know what? I want to check out Bitcoin a little bit more.
Bitcoin was born as a response to the financial crisis of 2008. It is about you owning your own currency, you being your own bank in many ways. Mm-hmm. So if you want to independently manage your money, independently manage your wealth, you need to understand Bitcoin and crypto. Having said that, that means you do not trust third parties to manage your money. You do not give money to somebody to buy your crypto. You need to understand it and you need to manage it.
That was perfect. First of all, A+. I'm getting off the bus. I'm very excited. I'm looking for a quote, and I don't know if I'm going to find it. I think I saved it on Instagram, but Charlie Munger, the fabled investor with Berkshire Hathaway, Mr. Buffett's right-hand man, recently passed away.
Yeah, en
paz descanse. He hated Bitcoin and hated crypto. That's his take. That's fine. And I hope I saved it, but he had something that, this is the quote. It said from Charlie Munger, RIP. He said, private wealth management is a scam. Never trust those used car salesmen with your money. And I think that even though he was very anti-Bitcoin and anti-crypto in his life, he understood the value of understanding investments and understanding what you personally are going to put your money into and not letting other people do it. And now that trickles down to what you're saying in the scams. It's interesting. A guy I work with, he's has his own brand and somebody created an Instagram that looks exactly like his and reached out. And I just didn't realize it wasn't him, even though we've already had a long conversation on DMs and we share stuff. And he's like, hey, do you need help trading? Do you need help? Anyways, I am in now probably hour two of talking to this guy, just because I'm going to take it and share it on YouTube and be like, this is what a scam looks like, right? Oh, this is the things that they're, yeah, I'm going to scroll through and just talk through it anyways. So I'm kind of playing with this guy. I don't really care because he's a scammer, but you know, one of the things is like, just send money to this address, right? And then he's like, I'll invest it. And there's an algorithm that no one understands. Essentially, you can't understand because it's too good. And then I'll give you money back. So whenever that happens, it is outside of the world of P2P. And I think you did a great job in breaking that down. So
thank you. Jared, you know, one of the new scams, and I just read about it somewhere else in the US, but we have somebody from Bitso wrote a column, romance crypto scams. Using dating apps to scam people out of crypto. So just be careful. Don't send your money. And by the way, Crypto Conexión never asks for money. So if anybody's saying Crypto Conexión is asking for money, it's a scam.
You know, I think you've inspired me because I've been thinking about doing this for a while. But I think in all my socials, I'm going to put, I will never ask money because I'm not going to. I'm not going to be like, hey, send me, you know, 1/10 of an ETH and I'll make you a billionaire. I think people should do that all across the internet, because the other scam that I'm seeing too, and this is something that I think a politician recently talked about on Capitol Hill, was the AI scam, where I call you and I say, Monica, I'm out on hard times. Somebody stole my phone. That's why I'm calling from a different number. Or maybe they've, you know, done the done the spoofing or whatever. So it looks like I'm calling you. And it's an AI voice. And I'm like, hey, Monica, we're Deep Web 3 friends. Can you send me $200 in Bitcoin? Here's my Lightning, you know? And that's something else that's starting to pop up more.
And Jared, for us that do so much in social media with our voice and our image, anybody can clone our voice and image with AI.
My voice, I've done now 400 plus podcasts over a bunch of different things. So I've touched on all these different themes. I've basically done a lot of tech and I've done a lot of football or soccer, right? Yeah. And I feel that same way. And I was actually thinking about doing an episode in the future where I'm moving the entire time. I know this is going to throw the audio off, but because we haven't gotten there yet. We're just doing, because AI isn't there yet as far. I mean, I guess some of the deep fakes are, but that stuff really needs not just like somebody who's using whatever. But it is an issue. And it's like at this time in the world, we have this new way to own our identity and own our value like never before. At the same time, we now have a way to clone other people through phone spoofing, SIM swaps, all these kinds of different things, hacking, a lot of this that, how are these things happening at the same time? I guess that this is just technological evolution, right?
Yeah, but you know what the magic is? And we didn't talk about that user case for blockchain, but blockchain is going to help us prove the authenticity of items, including our ID. And so I think without knowing, AI is going to help blockchain.
I couldn't agree more. And actually, you said that we would talk about El Salvador. I think we should talk about El Salvador. Yeah. What do you want to talk about when it comes to El Salvador?
So look, I think the expectation was high, but I do think the government didn't really focus on two areas. And I've said it publicly before, so I don't think it's anything new. But one is even like the day-to-day consumers. Yes, they gave them a wallet. They gave them money. And now they're doing the courses through school. But the people that get the remittances, in fact, remittances are down in El Salvador with crypto, because you know what they didn't focus on? Those that send the remittances. I would have done workshops in LA, which has the largest concentration of Salvadorians in the US, and say, let us teach you what crypto is, what blockchain is, and how to send money using crypto, using the wallet. And I think they would have been much more successful.
That's a great point. And are other companies like Bitso, for example, are they doing talleres? Are they doing workshops stateside in high population areas? Like, oh, there's a bunch of Guatemalans that live there, a bunch of Mexicanos, a bunch of Guanacos. No?
No, I don't see anybody. And we haven't, I've seen groups like Hola Metaverso and Web3 Familia do events. Hola Metaverso actually has done several in LA, but I haven't seen any of the companies do it yet. I'm sure it will come, but not yet.
Yeah, because part of me is like the value of, especially in Latino culture, the value of like the handshake is still super, super important. Yes. In many ways, it's kind of like the south of the United States, Texas included, whereas other parts of the United States, it's like, no, we never have to meet. We'll e-sign and we'll lock a deal down for six figures. Like, doesn't matter. But in Latino culture, especially in the sector like cryptos, we've talked about where there are a lot of estafas. I don't know a Latino when I talk about crypto who, if I ask, can't tell me someone who know personally who's gotten scammed, which is, it's really unfortunate. And I think it hurts actually what Crypto Conexión's trying to do, even though it creates the opportunity for Crypto Conexión, right?
But it hurts the trust of the industry. And I always say crypto has a PR problem. But I also think, like in Colombia, when I was there, I was shocked how many people had fallen for the pyramid project because of the relationship, right? If somebody tells me I'm going to help you and I know you and give me your money and I'll invest it versus going online and doing the work that many of us do in the US or other parts of the world, it's very different, right? And that's why we do want to work more with communities and country that can help have an impact and move beyond the builders. I think right now, one of the challenges we have is that the ecosystem, like you said, right, the 2 degrees of separation, we're very close knit. We need to start expanding. And that's why I love what Women Biz did in Peru of going out and doing workshops with more people and outside of Lima, right?
Yeah, it's something that hopefully by 2025, 2026, I want to take 6 months and just travel in Colombia and just go to towns, and I'll probably talk to them and say, how'd you guys do this? Because that is where I think the real value is.
Sorry. I was going to say another great project. I don't know if you know Carlos Melgar. He's with Web3 Beach, and what he's done, which I love. So he does the beach cleaning. I think they started in Honduras, but now it's a global initiative, and they pay people in crypto to clean beaches.
I've seen this.
Then what they've done is they go and they onboard businesses around the beach to accept crypto, so that then you have immediate usability and you don't necessarily have to, you know, change it into fiat.
Pay a fee. The other thing about off-ramping that for you and I may not be difficult is that that is where the issues are. That is where you can copy and paste something wrong and lose all your money. And I was talking to somebody the other day about on-ramping and off-ramping, and the analogy I used is when you look at what can happen and go wrong in an airplane, it's on takeoff and it's on landing. When it's up 30,000 feet in the air, it's fine. It's literally on autopilot. But when it's landing and when it's taking off and landing, those are the two points where it's like, if things are going to go wrong for airplanes. And I said, it's the exact same thing with crypto. It's when you're going to be buying because you may get scammed or you may not know exactly what you're doing. And when you're chaining back into fiat, that's where you can get in trouble. And the thing about off-ramping as well is, depending upon the state and the country you're in, or the country I should say, you could have a taxable event. So it doesn't, there's not like value in giving people, obviously, if it's, it has to be a KYC'd wallet. I don't know what the beach project is, but if, you know, if I put that onto my Coinbase and then I take it off, and because I want to spend money as opposed to just spending that Ethereum, I may have lost if it's a short-term gain and it had gone up. Like, you know, you could basically put yourself in the crosshairs in the United States context of the IRS, and that's something you never want to do. And so I actually wanted to ask on Crypto Connection, I haven't looked, do you guys talk about taxes and how to deal with taxes and pay taxes on your crypto?
We did do one article, but I need to revamp it for this next tax season, because I do think with everything that's happened, but we do have an article. I'll send it to you on taxes. And I think we talk about different countries.
Send it. And it's also something that we can add in the episode show notes. And with that, I want to give you a chance before we finish up to shout out where people can get in touch with you. You and I met on LinkedIn. So I'm sure maybe if you could shout out your personal LinkedIn, that'd be great. And I think we're also connected on Twitter and Instagram and a bunch of other places, but you know, shout out your personal and, or just Crypto Conexión, whatever you shout out, I will put in the episode show notes so people can reach out and find you.
Thank you. So Crypto Conexión is on all the platforms. Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and then personal, Moni Catalán on LinkedIn, Moni Talán on Twitter, Moni Catalán, I think, on Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. I hardly use Facebook. If you want to connect with me, use Instagram. I mean, sorry, Twitter, Telegram, or LinkedIn. I'm always on LinkedIn, by the way. And then I do have Farcaster, so I'm there as Moni Catalán as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for hopping on. And I would say that by the time we see each other next in person at one of the many crypto conferences 2024, it would probably be a good time to do a check-in, because we will be very close to the halving, or we will just pass the halving. And I think the next episode we should also do in Spanish if you're good with that, because that's the whole point. Es es la meta de Crypto Conexión. That's the whole goal of Crypto Conexión. So thank you, Monica, for hopping on More Than Blockchain.
Gracias, Jared. So grateful. Obrigada. So we bring in the Portuguese.
Exactly. You got to bring in the Portuguese. Thanks.
Thank you.